All right, kiddos, come on, join me up here. How's everybody today? Did y'all have some limbs down at your house?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read you a story today. I want you to pay close attention to the story because I'm going to ask some questions about it. In the 15th chapter of Luke, it has three stories in that chapter. One about a lost sheep, one about a lost coin, and one about a lost son. Okay? So listen to the story carefully. There was a man who had two sons. The younger came to his father and he said, "Dad, I want my share of the estate. I want everything that's coming to me that I'll inherit." So his dad divided the wealth and he gave him what he asked. Not many days later, this younger son, because he had an older son also, gathered together all of his things along with his money, and he went to a distant country. And there, he squandered. Y'all know what the word squander means? He wasted. He wasted everything that his dad had given him. He spent everything. Then there came a severe famine. Y'all know what a famine is?
No.
It's where no crops are growing. There's no rain and the crops can't grow. And everybody became very poor. There wasn't enough to eat. So he went and hired himself out as a servant. And there he was put out into a pig pen to feed the pigs. What did you say, Jackson?
He was so hungry that he ate the pig food.
That's right. He was so hungry, he ate the pig food. Now, that's pretty hungry. So he's sitting there and he's thinking as the scripture says, he came to his senses and he said, "You know, even the hired people that work for my daddy back home have more than enough to eat. And here I am dying of hunger in a foreign country." He said, "I'll get up, I'll go back to my dad, and I'll say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. I've done wrong. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Can I come back and just be one of your hired hands?'" So he got up and he went back to his dad. While he was still a long way off, the Bible says his father saw him. So what does that mean his daddy must have been doing? Right, he was waiting and was looking for him every day. His daddy was looking for his boy to come back home. His father saw him. He felt great love and compassion for him. And he ran out and he hugged him and he kissed him. And his son said, "Dad, I have sinned against God. I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But what did his dad do? Does anybody know? Huh? Hey, he threw a feast. He said to his other servants, he said, "Quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand." Now, what did putting the ring on his hand mean? You only had a ring on your hand if you were what?
Important.
You were important. But in this case, if you were not a servant, not a hired servant, but what? A son. Put a ring on his finger. And sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and we'll eat and celebrate. because the son that I thought was dead has come back to life. He was lost, and now he is found. Now, y'all listen to me closely about this story. What do you think the main meaning of that story is? Who is this story really about? Jimmy? Right, that's part of it, Stewie. That's right. The whole story is about the boy is us. That's right on the money, Stewie. And the boy is us, and the dad is God. That there's nothing. Listen to me. Look at me. Everybody, eyes on me. There's nothing you can ever do that will make God stop loving you. He loves you. And that's why Jesus came to die on the cross, so he could bring us back into the family. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful story. Lord, a story that looked like it was going to have a sad ending. But thank you, Lord, for the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to go to Kids Zone. Last week, we posed the question, who's your daddy? And today, I want you to just pretend like you're sitting across my kitchen table and we're chatting, okay? I want to talk to you a little bit about this idea of Father. God is Father, and then what that means to us. Now, let me preface my remarks today by saying this. You know, last week we talked, you know, posed that question, who's your daddy? And we looked at those three figures. Remember the story? We talked about David, we talked about Jonathan, we talked about Saul. Two of the three got it right when it came to God, seeing who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. Now Saul got it all wrong. He got it all wrong. We've seen in our history, we've seen us rediscover parts of what we would call the Godhead. Now turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. A couple of passages we're going to use today are we're going to use them in ways maybe that you hadn't thought about them. Now when you think of this this Matthew passage, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, what do you usually think of when you think of that? What do we call that? The Great Commission. Thank you very much. The Great Commission. But in there is a phrase that I want us to look at very briefly. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, it's not a sermon today, to a message today, a chat, if you will, about going through all the details of the Trinity. But you see, the Scripture does teach that concept. Now, the word Trinity is not used in the Bible, but the concept is there. This God in three persons. In these three revelations, if you will. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've seen in our history, we've seen in recent centuries that we have kind of reestablished, you know, we kind of We kind of began to get it right in the Reformation as we went back and we looked at who the Son of God really is. And understanding, and on into this past century and the 20th century, understanding that Jesus is the Son of God and getting that right. We also had a resurgence and an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. You go back to early in the 20th century, and even before that, some of the whole holiness movement, the Azusa Revival, all the things that were taking place, and then we see on up into the 60s what we would call the charismatic renewal, and all that how that influenced Christianity worldwide, and we begin to get it right about who the Holy Spirit is. But how about the Father? How about understanding that concept? We see in our nation right now a lot of fatherless children. Do we not? Now, are you a dad if there's just biology involved? You can go down into the sperm bank and have that. But what does it mean, this idea of fatherhood? Now, I'm here to say to you today that the way the Lord set up the family, the way He set up fathers, and their position in the home, their position with children, and you see scripturally how that works. Ideally, what that is supposed to do is to point them, and for them to see what a dad, what God the Father should look like. It should be a reflection. Now, follow me on this. Now, one of the things that we're called to be, can't remember the exact Greek word, but there's a word that's used in the New Testament where one of the translations translates it as we're to be luminaries. I mentioned this to you 2 weeks ago. Luminaries. They're reflectors, like the moon is a luminary. It has no light of its own, but it reflects the light that comes from somewhere else. Follow me here now. That's what we're to do as Christians. And to work the analogy on out, the reason we're called to live a holy life, and the word holy, just where it means a set-apart life, is our reflector needs to be clean so that it can that our life can adequately reflect the Lord. So over and over again, we see in the Scripture that we're to glorify, that we're to live a life that will glorify the Father who is in heaven. You get the concept. Now, in the story that we read today with the children, look at the dad there. Isn't it obvious? Kids, I mean, it's plain as nose on your face. The dad in the story is reflecting who the Father is. Now, what made him a good father in the story? Think about the things that made him a good father. He wasn't just a biological dad. He truly was the Father. Scripture talks about His compassion, His great love. Look how consistent He is. He never gives up. He never gives up on a child. That love continues, that consistency continues. He is living out, He is a living, breathing example of how things should be. There's kindness in Him. In grace. He's not controlling, is He? If He had been a micromanager, Dad, what would He have done? He'd have never given Him part of the inheritance in the first place. Let me ask you, if the boy, you know, what do you think the boy would have done if after he demanded his part of the inheritance, which Dad didn't have to do, but if after he demanded his part of the inheritance, if Dad said no, what do you think the boy would have done? Oh, he was leaving. He was leaving. That decision had already been made. Because how did he view his dad? Huh? He was holding him back. And let me tell you, he viewed himself, hey, my dad's ignorant about everything. He doesn't know a thing about the world. Can I get a witness on that? How many of you thought that about your parents before you got out into the world? Boy, they were stupid. Man, they didn't know that. Remember one dinner table time, Logan must have been in about first year of high school or something, and he came home one day. He was going to educate his mother and I about weed. You know, and when he used the word weed, he said, well, I guess y'all don't know what that is. Throwing Logan under the bus big time today. But it's funny how much smarter our parents get by the time we turn about 30. You know, the things that we need. Now, the dad in the story, you look at all those ways in which he showed who Father God is. But what happens in a person's life if you didn't have a dad that did that? Now, I want to ask you today, your own biological dad, any of you have a perfect one? you think about, you can always find some flaws. But some of us are seated here today that are in this group, that your earthly, physical daddy failed you. And maybe it's still doing it. Maybe they were absent. Maybe they weren't consistent. Maybe they didn't love you unconditionally. Maybe there were a lot of rules with no love. There may be some of you sitting here today that have deep, what we would call father wounds. You see, when it comes to our moms and our dads, those are the two people in the world that God has ordained in our life that we should be able to trust above all others. Maybe you couldn't trust your dad. But then I ask another question. How about his dad? And his dad before him? Now turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Book number 5. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now right in the middle, yes, I told you, now we're going to look at some passages maybe in a way that we haven't looked down before. Right in the middle here of the Ten Commandments being repeated. Listen to what it says. Verse 9. You shall not worship them. Well, let's go back up to 8, read 8. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord, Yahweh, one of those names Gary is talking about, your God, your Elohim, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, I haven't got time to look at all the other ancillary scriptures that will go with that, but when a family, when a dad in particular, lets in sin, there comes a curse that comes with that. There comes a generational curse that comes on the family that gets passed on to the next and the next and the next until somebody stops it. Until somebody says, no, we're not going to pass that on. Here's what we find out from doing some sociological studies and reading, just reading stuff in society. We find out that men who grow up, and we're talking about fathers today, apply this to mothers too, but dads today. Men who grow up who are abusers as adults, when you go back and you look in their background, in their home, what do you usually find? They're abused. And you find out that it's a gift that keeps on giving, right? Do you see it? Some of us think, well, I can just live my life and my life doesn't affect anybody around me. Pfft, come on. That's a lie. It's not possible. Now, he goes on to say in that passage, there's a blessing that gets multiplied. If you want to give a blessing, that blessing will multiply. You ever looked at people? Maybe looked in your own family, as I have, certain members of my family, and asked the question, well, why do they act that way? Where is the pain that comes from that? Well, it's odd behavior. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with the given set of circumstances. When in some ways they're responding in what ought to be a happy time, but for them they're thinking of something that's negative. Because maybe in their family, it was negative. It was difficult. I've used my grandmother as an example before, but I remember sitting with her as a little boy looking through pictures. She was going through a picture album and showing me pictures of the family. And I couldn't have been more than 8 or 10 years old. And she started crying. And I couldn't wrap my arms around. I couldn't understand it. Why is Granny crying right now? What's going on with her? Well, you know, looking back now, what I see was she was being reminded of some painful things in her life. In particular, some things that happened when she was a child. And here she was very old at that point in time, and yet it was like it happened yesterday. Now listen to me. Listen to me closely. Some of you are sitting here today, and you're thinking, well, I'll just glaze that stuff over in my life. I won't deal with it. I won't deal with it today. And maybe if I just push it away, I can stuff it down and I won't have to deal with it. That's not how it works. Because God wants to heal you. The Father. Remember last week we talked about Jonathan? We looked at Jonathan, and here Jonathan, you know, he's a swell guy. I mean, he is a great friend. He is a stand-up guy. He's a great warrior. And you're thinking, man, how did that happen? And look at his sorry daddy. How did that happen? Well, see, it's God's grace. God did a wonderful work in Jonathan's life because he got it right with his Father that's in heaven. I want to tell you today, wherever your earthly daddy has let you down, whatever father wound you may have there, and you know, some of the results of that we can see, you can see, particularly those of you that teach school or have been around, you can pick out the kids that don't have a daddy in the home. You can pick out the kids where dad isn't showing up in some way. There's generally a problem with authority. That there's generally a problem with trust. There's generally a problem with receiving love from somebody. Can you see all of that? Can you see how that happens? Because there's a wound there. They may be 6 years old, but there's still a wound there. They may be 86 years old. There's still a wound there unless there has been healing in some way. Unless they have let the Lord come. And families, you'll see. Give me an example. One of my first pastorates I had, they told me about this one family. Said, "Oh, preacher, you don't need to cross them. Oh, they've got bad tempers." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Oh, man, they fly off the handle at anything." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, they got red hair." Yeah. Where's Briny?
I've heard that.
I'm thinking, and they're Irish too. And that is funny, Daniel. Is that not just ignorance on parade? That the color of your hair? And what do we do when we perpetuate lies like that? We give people that with red hair, "Man, I can fly off the handle anytime I want to. Man, I got red hair. I'm a card-carrying, lose-your-temper kind of guy because look what I've got." Makes you want to get a red toupee, I guess. All right. What I found in that family, though, was generational curse. I didn't know what to call it then. I found a gift that kept on giving. What I found as I got to know them was that the daddy before them and the daddy before them had done exactly the same thing. And they just kept giving it to the next generation. There comes a point in time where you need to say, stop the madness. You may think today, "Well, you don't know how I was treated by my father or my mother." It'd be a mother wound too. You just don't understand. I've got all this pain in my life. And let me tell you, inflicting pain on somebody else does not help your pain whatsoever. It multiplies it. Because then you have the pain of what you have done to someone else. Somebody has to be able to absorb that pain. Who can do it? The Bible says, by His stripes, we're healed. We come to Him. We come to Him in salvation because He can forgive our sin. But we also come to Him in our sanctification and our growing up in Jesus, and He will heal us. He will reconcile us. Now, one of the things that we do here and offer for people is a thing called Steps to Freedom, where, and I would offer that to you if you're interested in doing this sometime, where you can go back and look at your life with one of the pastors or another person, be there with you, or a couple of other people that have been trained in this, to go back and look at these places in your life and let God bring His healing there. And especially if you say this, well, there's some times and I feel this way and I really don't even know why I feel this way. We need to get to the root of it. Here's one of those primary roots. Back to the story of the prodigal son. Look at what the dad in the story did. His kindness. He wasn't just brushing what his son had done under the rug. He was facing it straight on, and he forgave him. I'm about to say something that's going to make a few of you mad with me. The route to your healing and your wholeness, if you have a father wound, is not holding that over His head. It's forgiveness and turning Him over to the Lord. That's all I got to say. We're going to open the altar today. You want to come and pray today? And I know some of you, you're going to be reluctant to come to the altar because you're going to think, man, I don't want to admit that I had a problem in my family, that anything was going on. I want to continue to act like everything was okay. So, we're not going to open the altar. Dane and I will be available to you after the service today. If you'd like to come and talk, write on your card. You can put it in the basket. If you'd like to talk, You got our phone number. Phone number is published. You can email us if you'd like to talk about some of these issues. It's time to get free. And when the Son says you're free, you're free indeed. Because you know what? The world around us is dying and going to hell in a handbasket. And they need Jesus. So we need to get it right with us. If it's forgiving somebody, if it's getting, and let me just remind you, this is a process too. This isn't a quick fix, boom, one time at the altar, bingo, bango, everything's good. Because Jesus says you work out your salvation. You don't work it for, but you let it work out as the Lord applies that truth in our lives. Okay? Baskets are in the back, in the front. Don't blow out the candles yet, Daniel. We want to get those from you, but I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Okay? This is a prayer for all of us. I'm going to try as best I can to stand right in the middle of us. Okay, you ready to pray? Ready to do some business with the Lord? Lord, we come to You today. You are Father God. Paul said, whereby we cry out, Abba, Daddy. Daddy, we need you. We need you right now. We need you to come. We need you to come with your healing. Come with your power. Come with your forgiveness. Come with your grace and your mercy. Lord, I'm praying right now for all of us in this room and those who touch us. Lord, that you'll come and we'll get to see what you can do in a life that has been opened up to you, Father. I'm praying, Lord, for father wounds today that can be healed. Lord, I know if we wait on these others to ask for forgiveness, it'll never happen. So, Lord, we're going to turn them over to you right now. We're going to turn them over to you and ask you, Lord, that you'll deal with them. Lord, we put them in your hands. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we want to get those cards from you right now. So we'll wait and get those, and then I'm going to send you out. Baskets up front and in the back. Tomorrow is Daniel's birthday. And since y'all probably won't be at his home tomorrow to give him spankings, he said you could just go in and do it today. Okay? And 38, is that how many? 38. Hail, man. Hail, man. Yeah, we did it earlier today. Let's do it all together. 1, 2, 3.
Hail,
man. All right. Lord, now send us out in your power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus the Son, and the authority, Lord, of you, our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.